Alright, it's the last show of 2011 here on the Beer Coasters podcast. We got beers from Lost Abbey, Berkshire, and Pike Brewing. Hope you enjoy the show.
I am straight, craftus, erectus, right now.
Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
I'm quite a few ounces into the show right now.
This is not a science class.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between.
Wow, that was the old streamlined version.
Yeah.
I'm your Happy host. Happy New Year.
Yeah. I'm your host this week. This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada. And joining me is
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
So yeah, it's the it's our end of the year show. You'll be drinking. So we've got some leftover holiday beers. And
it was gonna be last but not yeast, but we changed it to you'll be drinking. Yeah. I think we mentioned last but not yeast last week. So,
but hey, you know, things
change. We change things on the fly. That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. This is episode 136. And for our fermentation conversation, we are trying the Lost Abbey Gift of the Magi. And we got some interesting hot topics. Got quite a bit of things that we want to talk about. We don't know if we'll get it all in this week, but got a couple things we want to talk about. And Mike, what are you trying?
Oh, for my tasting flight this week, I'm going to try Berkshire Brewing Company's Hollidale. And it is their 2011 version.
Hollidale.
I believe it is a barley wine, but it sounds like kind of a winter warmer barley wine. So we'll see how that goes.
And I will be trying the Pike Brewing's Auld Acquaintance.
How appropriate for the season.
Yeah, it's got Santa Claus on the label, so
that works.
All right, so what do you say we get into this Gift of the Magi?
Sounds good. We should uncage it, uncork it.
This is a fermentation conversation. Oh, yeah.
This is Lost Abbey Brewing Company. They are out of San Marcos, California. This is their Gift of the Magi. I'm not sure if they do multiple seasonals, but this is like their fall slash winter. It's like a fall slash holiday release, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's in the Beer de Garde category.
The Beer de Garde.
The Beer de Garde. Which we did do a Beer de Garde show not too long ago. And so if you wanted to check back, I believe Beer Jargon Guy may have made an appearance, explained a little bit about the Beer de Garde. Basically, it's a French-themed Belgian Flanders type stuff. Anyway, we're trying to
really
decork.
Tough time with the cork here.
Yeah. This comes in at 9.5% ABV.
I don't know if I'm going to make it. Mine's not even turning.
Oh, it's right there, baby. Oh, yeah, baby, it's right there.
Oh. Not mine.
All right, so I'm using one of my brand new tulip glasses. I got the, Gina got me a set of beer drinking glasses for Christmas.
There we go, here we go. You ready, folks? Here it comes.
Whoa. Your crack was better than mine. Some of the ingredients it uses is it's bittered with the bark of frankincense and the smallest amount of myrrh, which is an herb that has roots in ancient winemaking. So if you're familiar with the whole three wise men thing, they brought frankincense and myrrh and what was the other one? Gold.
Gold, so. Frankincense, and myrrh, yep.
Like- Whoa. Got any beer in there? Or is it all just Degard? It's
yeah, it's all Degard. It's like a Yeti fist worth of
It's like
head.
A Yeti foot.
Yeah.
That's a big foot you got there.
It is.
So it pours out. Well, I got a, might be a chill haze. I tried to pull this out of the fridge with enough time, but it's an orangey amber color, slightly cloudy, some tiny bubbles in there. I got about a finger of head. It's about, it's an off-white foamy head. Mm. Yeah, it looks pretty.
Yeah, it's very orange. You know, it's going from the gold to the orange. Not quite amber, but it's got kind of a hazy orange to it.
On the news, clove. It's spicy.
Mm.
Maybe some orange.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in here.
Yeah, very fruity and spicy and herby smelling.
Yeah, it's almost like like a spiced orange, like some kind of mulled citrus.
Yeah.
With spices.
Even picking up on, it's very perfumey, but there's this candiness to it. You know, it smells like candy, but very mild. It's not super perfumey. It's very subtle.
And kind of a candy ginger.
Yeah, a little bit of ginger. Yeah.
Lots of, like, herb type, you know, like a herbal aroma, but I can't quite, you know, pick up, you know, little individual things from it. But there's a kind of a bright citrusy aroma.
Yeah.
I would take a sip, but it's just going to be all head. So I'm trying to get more beer in my glass here.
Well, while you wait, I'll throw out a little interesting note. You know, every beer geek who's any beer geek knows the name Tommy Arthur. He's the head brewer there and co-owner of the Lost Abbey. Once worked with Pizza Port Brewing. He was their head brewer there for many years. But before he started in the brewing, he actually worked for... Actually, it was between... He worked as a brewer at a small brewery in downtown San Diego. And then he worked for White Labs for like 2 months.
And for those of you who don't know White Labs, they... Pretty much, they provide yeast, right? They're a yeast provider for.
They're one of the bigger ones, I think, in the United States.
Kind of like a mail order type thing, right?
Yeah. He worked there for a couple of months, and then he started working for Pizza Port in '97. So, interesting. I found that out today, and I thought, I didn't know that about Tommy Arthur. But pretty cool.
Ooh, I just got like a pear, like a dried.
Yeah, very spicy, clean.
I don't know what frankincense tastes like, but I think it's in here.
Yeah, very, very spicy.
It's it was funny because, you know, we did the Beer de Garde episode a while back, and it was very interesting. It was a very interesting style to me. I wasn't expecting that much where I figured it was, you know, kind of a lager type beer. But with this, with the, you know... Lager yeast and kind of a wild, you know, what they use Brettanomyces in this as well, right? Or no?
I don't know.
I think
it could be. I mean, it's bordering on sour, but yes, it is. It's dry hopped and bottle conditioned with Brettanomyces.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting. This is kind of that we did those Belgian IPAs before, you know, where it's kind of got this hoppiness and then kind of a very interesting yeast character to it, kind of makes it feel, you know, like that wild ale.
The aftertaste of the finish and everything is very bitter, grassy, dry.
Yeah, I agree.
Mouthfeel, it's a little zippy, you know, it's got a nice, like, nice bite to it and very spicy.
The more I sip, the more, the more I'm getting a little bit of a piney, pininess and starting to get more of those spices are coming out. And mine's kind of on the warm side. It's not as cold as maybe it should be.
Well, mine's a little on the cold side, but like I feel like this could actually be, you know, a little bit warmer. So
yeah,
we'll see as this goes along how much it changes. But there's little sweetness. I mean, it smells like it's going to be very sweet and citrusy. You know, you get into those like quads and doubles and stuff, a lot of the Belgian ones, where you get a lot of those dark fruits and sweetness out of it. But this, it seems to be very little sweetness. It's there, but that piney bitterness really takes over.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of what you're left with in the style end. That is kind of that drier, crisper base, you know? I think that kind of makes the difference in why this, you know, you can add all these spices and kind of give a richness to the aroma and even the taste, but it's going to kind of dry up and kind of give a nice, you know, a dry end to the sip.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the aroma.
You got some crazy lacing, must have been from all that head. But it smells Belgian, you know, it smells like your typical triple or double. Oh, but there is something else in there, you know, now that it must be that, I don't know, maybe it's that frankincense and that myrrh. It's something that I'm not too familiar with, but you can tell that there's something in there that's different. I kind of like this.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Food pairing. Mike, have you thought about it at all?
Yeah, a little bit. For me, this would be a good, you know, lighter food type. It could be like some kind of crusted fish, you know, like if it's like Parmesan crusted fish or something, because you could kind of have a sharp cheese because it's got kind of lots of, you know, I think it's dry and crisp and it kind of lends itself to that, but it's got some interesting aromas. But I think fish would be a pretty good pairing with something like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go with fish. I'd go with shellfish.
Yeah, even you like know, a shrimp. I was thinking like a shrimp too. Yeah,
even like oysters, because it has that really nice spiciness to it. You might, I don't know. I'm not big on oysters, but I could see that sort of going well with this. First thing I thought it was barbecue.
Yeah,
like some ribs or something like that. But
yeah, I don't know how that would go with this. I think that kind of go. I think a sharper cheese would go well, you know, like a salty cheese, you know, like the, you know, the Parmesan and the Asiago, stuff like that. But I don't know how, you know, barbecue with that kind of, you know, starting to get the char and, you know, the charring and the caramelization of stuff. I don't know how well that would play with this beer.
I think the Parmesan crusted fish, I think that's probably the way to go.
All right. I win. That's it. Sweet. That's it. It's a food pairing battle from now on, going into this next year.
Also, we'll need a third person just to
referee.
Yeah.
Food versus.
Yeah, we got to get somebody on, like, you know, somebody who can actually cook, like Gina or Brittany or maybe even Crazy Dave.
Well, they could,
anybody but us.
So they could make the dish on the fly for us to see if we're right.
Yes. That's what the barbecue is for. We'll come up with a food pairing, and what we need to do is contact the Food Network and get the Iron Chefs involved.
Yeah,
and then they could send their little minions, and we'll say, "Okay, Parmesan crusted fish," and then they'll run like crazy across to the kitchen and find some fish and fresh Parmesan. All right. Anyway, Rate Beer gave Gift of the Magi a 97. And the Beer Advocate users gave it an 86.
What? That's right, folks.
An 86 from the Beer Advocate users. Check out this beer and other beers from Lost Abbey at lostabbey.com.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. great tunes, good vibes. It's Gemini Lounge.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Our last Hop Topic of 2011.
It's our last Hop Topic of the year.
Hop Topics are now over. All right. A couple of things. We wanted to talk about the Jester King thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was another thing we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But first, as we mentioned in our fermentation conversation.
Completely different.
In our fermentation conversation, we mentioned how Beer Advocate rating for the Gift of the Magi was an 86.
Not a letter.
And you ask, what? I thought they were on a letter system, you know, letter grading system. Well, yeah, that's kind of what set them apart. And I don't understand why they changed it. If it's just to, I came across like some sort of a forum feed where people were kind of trash talking. And then somebody came in to say, well, one of the Olsen brothers explained it like this, which kind of made sense. I haven't seen any of that, but basically they changed from letter scoring to number scoring, a lot like Rate Beer and a lot like the Beer Coasters podcast.
Yeah, they switched from letters to numbers.
And the way that they do it is they call it the BOS, the Beer Advocate Overall Score.
Some people just call it the BS, but that's for another discussion.
Its purpose is to help make some sense out of the rating average 1 through 5 based review average and provide consumers with a quick reference when comparing one beer or place to another. I'd like to hear our listeners' opinions on this because
we'd never really we've never asked our listeners if they like the whole, you know, pint rating thing. You know, because we do you know, maybe some of our new listeners don't know, but we do a 5-pint rating, you know, 5 pints being the best. Rate Beer does the, you know, 1 through 100. Beer Advocate used to do letter grades, and now they're doing this, 1 through 100 as well.
Which I was talking to Gina about this, and she said, which I think is how I feel about it, is we've kind of been raised on letter grading, you know, all through school and this and that. So it means something to us when something is an A or an A+. But when something is like a 90, I guess it doesn't mean as much. And when you look at the Beer Advocate, we'll post this on our website, but when you look at the Beer Advocate and when they break it down, they have different, like within, you know, from 95 to 100, it's considered a world-class beer and a must try. Mm-hmm. Also 90 to 94 is a must try, but it's exceptional. And then you go down to 80 through 89, which is a huge, like it's different, you know? How can you go from
difference between good to exceptional?
Right. From good, you have 80 to 89. So you have this 9 or 10 point spread for just good. And then all of a sudden for exceptional, 90 to 94. And then for world class, it's 95 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge difference between like if something was an 84 and a 93. There's this huge difference. You know what I mean? And even though it's so why even it to me it doesn't really make sense. Like why even do that? Because you have this 10 point spread and then you have a 4 point spread or a 5 point spread. I don't know. But then if you go under 70, it's just poor and you don't even need to bother with it.
And to me that's the biggest issue is it's 70 or below. Well that's a huge, you know, difference between, and I understand that they're doing it more of, you know, because you think, well, okay, if you get less than 70, you know, letter grade wise too, you know, kind of a, you know, C is passing, D is failing kind of thing. So I understand the numbers in that sense where they're, you know, above 90% is going to be an A and A+, that kind of thing. But below 70, that's a lot of beers that, I don't know. To me, that seems like there's a big margin of, you know, poor.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, before, what was it before? If it was like below a C, then it was a void. So if you think, you know, numerically, C's are around 70, I guess.
Yeah. Or maybe it's basically the same thing as they were doing before. They just decided to give it the number grade as opposed to giving it, you know, a letter grade. But the rating number wise, I think is the same, because I think it's a 1 through 5 that you grade the beers on with Beer Advocate, right. Like with the aroma and the taste and the appearance, that kind of thing.
That's what I was always a little confused by that. By, okay, so when you go through and you're actually rating the beer, you're rating it numerically. You're doing a 1 through 5, and you're doing this and that, and they're percentage wise, you know, 45% mm-hmm. here, 10% there. And then all of a sudden it calculates something to give you a letter grade, which, you know, if you think about it in school, it's the same kind of thing percentage wise, and it gives you a certain, you know, letter grade. So maybe that's why they're doing it. They're trying to make more sense of it with the way that they do the rating. I don't know.
I think it may be for the masses to have a better understanding of what the, you know, of the rating. So if they can do something that's a more standardized, you know, method right. of grading
all across the board,
and that's why I wonder if they're gonna all change to this, because this may be the standard and how to, you know, grade beers.
So you
know?
Are you so telling me that we're gonna have to go through a 1 through 100 rating system now?
I don't know. We might have to.
We're going to get contacted by the BJCP and the Brewers Association and say, what's this 5-pint rating system? No, 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 no.
Yeah.
You're confusing everybody. We need to all be on board here. We need 1 through 100. And you need to rate to style, which is another 1 through 100.
Yeah.
We'd be like, no, that's too scientific.
We're going to do it our way.
It's free country, man.
We're
just a podcast. Yeah, if we haven't explained it to any of our, I mean, if you're new and you haven't heard, you know, from years back, we've kind of touched on the subject from, you know, from time to time about our rating system, and it's nothing scientific, it's nothing professional, it's just mm-hmm. kind of how we feel about the beer. Mike has always said that 4.5 or 4.5 is like the best score, because it's not perfect, but it's still awesome. Mm-hmm. 5 being a perfect beer, in our opinion. And, you know, we drink the whole beer. We don't just take tastes and sips here and there. We drink, you know, we try to finish it. And if we can't finish it, then what do we say, Mike? It's like if it's unfinishable, then it's pretty much a guaranteed 1 pint.
Yeah, right.
And we never give a zero. Which, you know,
yeah, we don't. Yeah, it's
or
tough
a half.
For. Right. We never give zeros, right? It's only 1 through 5.
So every beer is worthy of at least 1 pint.
Yeah.
even the Cave Creek chili beer.
Exactly.
Anyhow, this probably doesn't. I'm sure that a lot of people don't even care about what Beer Advocate has done, you know, but we just thought that it was interesting that.
It's definitely big news, you know, as far as the craft beer world is concerned.
And the beer geeks out there.
Yeah, because Beer Advocate was definitely, you know, one of the founding fathers of beer ratings, you know. So, as much as we, you know, poke fun at the bros for not trying stuff that we've tried, we don't think we'd have a show, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Half the time without Beer Advocate. So
if it wasn't for Beer Advocate, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, at least I wouldn't be doing this right now. But anyway, moving on. Our next bit of hop topics. This comes from craftbeer.com. We posted this on our Facebook page about a week or so ago. It's the Musings on a Year of Craft Beer. It's by Julia Herz over there. She's the craft beer program director at craftbeer.com. She kind of gives a quick little breakdown of little tidbits of info on 2011 in craft beer as far as sales go, popularity, women getting involved in beer, the hot new styles or the hottest beer styles of 2011.
Yeah, the...
The growth in brew pubs.
That's interesting. Actually,
like that.
We'll go to what does she say the hottest beer styles?
Well, the hottest beer style is the Belgo Wild,
which is part of what, I mean, a little bit of what we just had.
Yeah.
You know, the beer, I mean, I know it's a beer de garde, but it's got that, you know, brewed with Brettanomyces. So that's definitely wild.
Yeah. It's off the hook, she says. Saisons were big.
Is she allowed to talk like that?
And as far as dollar sales, craft seasonals in general were the highest. What was it, 70 million?
Yeah, that's
wow.
Yeah, millions. Wow.
Pumpkin beers, IPAs, of course. IPAs are right there behind the seasonals, of course. And the least popular beer style of 2011 was the pale lagers. Fruit beers were more popular than pale lagers.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And then rising is that, you know, that American Black Ale or Black IPA or Cascadian Dark right. Ale or India Dark Ale, whatever you want to call it. It's rising in popularity.
Yeah, the 2011 was kind of when the big, like, debate started, I believe.
Hmm.
Collaborations were up.
The names. Collaborations were big for us this year. Yeah. I think we did quite a few collaborations.
What is it? Canning? Oh, growlers, I guess, were really popular. Beer weeks, local beer weeks. What was it? I read somewhere that 2011 had more than 50 local beer weeks.
Really?
Which, if you think about it, yeah, that's almost every single week of the year.
Well,
there was a craft beer week somewhere.
That's the only way to do it. I want a craft beer week every week. Yeah. Doesn't everyone?
But you got to travel, man. You got to find out where the next one is. Oh,
funny you should say that. Because next month is our world tour.
So anyway, that came from craftbeer.com.
Oh, by the way, you got the van ready?
Yeah, the van for our world tour.
Yeah, well, we got paddles that we get in the back, so.
Anyway, so check out beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Hop Topics link. Check out a couple of links we'll post. And one last thing I did mention last week at the very end of the show about I gave a shout out to Jester King Brewery out of Texas, how they were able to there was a lot of stuff going on beernews.org about these guys. They just had one of their beers get recalled, which is kind of sad, but it was the ruling. There was a ruling in their favor because I think we mentioned a while ago about Jester King was going to.
Oh, that's the law where they're saying basically if it was over a certain ABV, they had to call it ale.
Right. There's all, it's the TABC. They have all these Texas, I mean, Chris knows all too well of all of the ridiculous old, you know, pre-prohibition laws that are still in effect in Texas.
Yeah. Well, if he was here this week, he'd be able to tell us.
Yeah. What's up with that? Anyway, there was a judge ruled in Jester King's favor, declaring statutes and the TABC rules in question unconstitutional and therefore invalid, which were the whole thing about, like what Mike just said about.
That's basically what it boils down to is Jester King, fought in court and helped win that to kind of overturn a very old Texas or, you know, TABC law.
Right. Along with Authentic Beverage Company and Zach's Restaurant and Bar. Like, the three of them got their lawyers together and went to court, which surprises me. I mean, I just can't believe that some of these laws have been in effect for so long, and now all of a sudden and Jester King is brand new. I think they just opened this year in 2011, or maybe late last year. So they're a brand new, very young brewery, and they are the ones who are really fighting this.
Yeah.
You know, and they're ridiculous laws, you know, it's, and a lot of it is against like the sale, like all these restrictions on beer sales, even imports, but nothing on wine. It's like wine is like can do all of these things, but then when you go to beer, like tasting rooms and stuff like that, like wine can have tasting rooms and they can sell directly right. to the public. But in Texas, you can't get growler fills. You know, that's, I think, is going to be the next step. And, you know, that breweries like Jester King are going to go for is try to get the breweries to be able to sell directly to the public.
Yeah.
Wineries can. They can sell right there from the winery. Yeah. But for some reason...
Well, it's the same kind of thing. You know, where, Crazy Dave was on his Alaskan vacation there, and, you know, on a cruise, and he was allowed to bring whatever wine he wanted back onto the ship, but no beer.
You could bring a whole case of wine, but no beer.
That then laws like that are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's more of like the cruise lines,
beer,
you know, that's their rules, which is still...
That's beer discrimination, man.
Totally.
I want equal rights for beer, man.
Anyhow, big up to Jester King, authentic yeah. beverage company and Zach's Bar and Restaurant.
Yeah. We gotta get some Jester King beers on the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it takes, you know, is to really, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I don't know why a lot of those old breweries like Shiner never really tried to get any of these changed. Maybe because Shiner is successful with their lager, so they don't care. You know, they're just like, whatever, our lager is huge. We're selling millions of it, so no reason for us to try and change anything.
Well, I think a lot
nothing
of companies
against Shiner, but you know
find
I mean.
That it's easier to kind of work around the laws than to kind of fight.
Right.
To get them changed, you know?
Right. It's the whole, just like with Monster, with the Vermonster thing.
Yeah.
With Rock Art, you know, how he decided to fight, whereas you find out that there are tons of other breweries that just throw their hands up and say, fine, we'll just change. It's no big deal. You know, we'll save the money and go ahead and change it, work around it.
That's what it boils down to. You know, it's how much money they have to spend to get right. that. You know, changed.
So, you ready to drink, Mike?
Yeah. I'll do that. That sounds like a great idea. Man, we should do a show about that.
Yeah. About drinking
drink beer every week?
Or just talking about it?
We can talk about it. We can drink some beer, talk about it. That sounds like a great show.
So go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link, give us your input. Cheers.
Yeah. Hop Topic.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Right, time for my tasting flight.
Finally. Jeez.
This is Mike from Boston, and I'm going to try Berkshire Brewing Company's Holiday Ale.
Holiday
Ale. Yeah. This is a barley wine style ale from them, and it's a bit of a winter warmer style barley wine. So we'll check that out. This is from Berkshire Brewing Company out of Deerfield, Massachusetts. Their website is berkshirebrewingcompany.com. And a little interesting note about the brewery. In 94, they transformed an old cigar factory into their brewery. I thought that was kind of cool and interesting, you know, kind of conversion. You know, because I've heard of, you know, interesting places like churches and, you know, certain companies that they turn into breweries. And I thought that was kind of a cool one, an old cigar factory, you know. The ABV on this beer is 9.5. Couldn't find the IBUs anywhere, but I am going to crack it.
That's good.
And no hops or malts I couldn't find either.
I hope there's hops and malt.
Well, I'm sure there's some in there, but I couldn't find out what types they were. Ooh. So, it is...
Well, they're whole cone hops.
Yeah.
Right here, Magnum hops.
Really? Where'd you find that?
There's a little thing that says, read more about our 2011 Holiday Ale.
Oh. I don't like to read more, I guess.
And they're grown. They're at a locally grown 4-star farms.
Yeah, they're very kind of local. You know, they I think I've tried the Dean's Beans Like they have a porter that they get from Dean's Beans, which I think is a local like coffee place out there too. I really like Berkshire because they're usually like a dollar or two cheaper than most of the 22s you're going to find. Yeah. And they're, you know, they hold up with some top notch. Excuse me, I'm going to try this again. Top notch ales. Thank you. Great. So it is kind of a copper color. It's pretty clear. There was a bit of a chill haze, but kind of gone now.
Whoa, that's a mighty glass you've got there.
Yeah, I have the...
is that a goblet?
It's a dogfish head glass. It's kind of my new favorite glass. Kind of a short, stubby, stemmed...
Wide mouth.
A bit like a brandy snifter type thing, a little bit.
Looks big from here.
On the nose, I'm getting a very caramely banana, like a ripe banana.
Caramelized?
Caramelized, yes. Almost like you get like a Bananas Foster kind of aroma to
it. Yeah.
Caramel, candy, banana. And almost like a sugar cookie. There's like a buttery, sugary aroma. And like fig. Yeah, fig.
Sounds holiday-ish.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Sorry, I had to actually take a second sip there.
What's the ABV?
9.5. Doesn't taste like 9.5. It's yeah. It doesn't have that chewiness that some of the barley wines have. It doesn't have. It's actually. It's pretty drinkable. It's not like that sipper style barley wine, and I'm getting some of the same kind of flavors in there that had the aroma with the banana. It's kind of a weird dull citrus at the end. It's kind of like a something a little odd about it, a little like almost like a cardboardy type citrus.
Uh-oh.
There's not much in the way of alcohol. At least it's not coming through. Like I'm not getting kind of alcohol warming like you would in some barley wines. It's got kind of a medium body. It's not super light, but it's got a kind of has a light chew to it, but very drinkable.
Is it hoppy?
But there's
at all?
Something kind of strange in the finish. Now, there's not much in the way of hops. I'm getting more of a toffee and a caramel, but there is kind of a strange cardboardy type flavor that's kind of deadening the rest of the flavors to come through. That's even a word.
Yeah.
Deadening.
Deadening.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Maybe if it's maybe not that fresh that I'm getting that kind of cardboard. Because the aromas seem, you know, it doesn't smell, you know, spoiled or not fresh.
It could be young, you know.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, if they're going to put it out, they want you to enjoy it now.
Ooh.
Unless they do like a Deschutes thing where they say, best enjoyed after, you know, October of 2012.
You know, I just took another sip and it's not there anymore.
Ah, yes, the ever-changing.
This one's interesting.
That's what Last Call's for.
I'm not quite sure what to pair this with. It's tough because it kind of, you know, it's got a sweetness that it's almost a dessert-style beer, but it's kind of clean and not sweet enough to be a dessert beer. So to pair
smoked
it with something.
Pork butt.
Pork butt.
I just wanted to say that.
I just wanted to say pork butt. Nice. It's not quite sweet enough, but I really don't know what type of food I would pair with a beer like this. As I said, it's not sweet enough for a dessert beer, but it might be too sweet to pair with food. So,
just what about something,
chocolate. Let's throw some chocolate at it. Just a couple pieces of chocolate and see what happens.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, if you get a chance to check this one out, it is the Holidale from Berkshire Brewing Company, and this is their 2011 series, which I don't know if I mentioned that or not. Check it out.
Aces and Ales Premium Craft Beer Bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay. For my tasting flight, I am trying my last tasting flight, 2011. Crazy as it is.
Brings a tear to my eye.
This is the Auld Acquaintance from Pike Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington. Been there since... They've been brewing since
1989.
The Auld Acquaintance Hoppy Holiday Ale is actually a wassail. And I guess we've never talked about the wassail here on the Beer Coasters podcast. So I thought before the year ends, we want to squeeze in one more.
Who better to describe
beer jargon guy
than the beer jargon guy?
Exactly. So I'm going to throw it to the beer jargon guy and see if he can tell us about wassail.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For the final beer jargon of the year, the term is wassail. Wassail is a very traditional style of spiced ale that is brewed for Christmas and the holiday season, traditionally made with apples, but now, however, they are interchangeably referred to as holiday beers, Yule ales, winter warmers, and if they contain fruit, they are referred to as mulled ales.
Awesome. Thank you, Beer Jargon Guy. Welcome back.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure.
Right at the end of the year, he finally decides to pipe in again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, for tax reasons, he wanted to make sure that...
Yeah.
Anyway.
And it is, wassailing is a very English tradition, so...
Ah, yes.
Had to pipe in on that.
True, true. So the Auld Acquaintance comes in at 5% ABV with 32 IBUs. I'm going to go ahead and crack it. One of the more popular wassail beers, I believe, would be the Full Sail Wassail.
Full Sail Wassail?
Their winter beer. Mm-hmm. The hops used in this are Magnum, Glacier, and East Kent Goldings. The malts are Pale, Munich, Crystal, and Wheat, and it uses an English ale yeast.
What? Did you say wheat?
I said wheat.
That's wonderful.
Does it bother you?
No, I think it's wonderful.
Does it bother you the way that I say wheat?
Is it white wheat?
It's pale wheat.
Oh. Wow.
Okay, so I got a nice fat finger of head.
Fat finger.
It's
is that a Yeti
amber
pinky?
In color.
Is a fat finger of head a Yeti pinky?
Yeah, it's a Yeti pinky. Not quite a full Yeti.
Speaking of finger. Yetis, I wanted to mention that I'm actually coming to you from a Yeti microphone.
He's talking to a Yeti right now.
It's going to take me a few episodes to kind of figure out the settings in this, but yeah, we're using the blue microphone Yeti. So yeah, it's the unofficial mic of the Beer Coasters podcast.
So the back to the my beer here. It's an amber in color, slightly cloudy, slightly. A little bit of bubbles going on in there. The head is frothy, sticking around nicely.
Mm. Frothy head.
On the news. Hmm. It's fruity. It smells like berries. Like a cranberry, kind of, but not that. Not that, like, it's not, doesn't smell like a really sour, bitter cranberry. It's more of like a sweet. Hmm. citrusy. There's a toastiness, kind of like a citrusy cracker, almost like you spread some sort of a jam on a cracker.
Cracker Jam, 2011.
What?
I was going to say, instead of the traditional soundbite of taking a sip, I figured we could do it live since it was our last show.
We could do it. Okay. Ready? Like, I'll do the music part. We'll do three, two, one. You do the vocals. I'll do the music. You do the vocals.
Okay.
Taking a sip. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Thank you, Mike. For my fell on the guitar.
You know darn well can't play without a guitar string.
Yoink. This is interesting. It tastes very English, but yet it has a very nice bitter kick to it. You know, it has that very toasted English maltiness, and then there's this nice, like really.
I thought you were gonna say muffin-ness.
Bitter. No. It's got this really bitter kick to it that kind of rounds it all out. And the aftertaste, you get a little bit of this toasted sweetness, and then you also get that dry bitterness. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, a little bit of like sour, sweet and sour kind of berry in there, almost like a cherry.
And I wonder if they did kind of like a... Did they use any adjuncts in there? You know?
Usually, well, the thing about Pike is they tend to stick to the Reinheitsgebot, but in this one they did add some orange peel, coriander, cinnamon, nutmeg. So it's definitely spiced
with the holiday spices. It's essentially kind of like the wassail kind of thing, because I know, you know, where the, like, as the Beer Jargon guy said, it's traditionally like an apple cider, but all those things you mentioned are in that cider. It's, you know, with the, you know, the orange and the, you know, it's citrus and cloves and cinnamon and ginger and nutmeg, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel spicy like that. Like, I definitely do pick up on some of those, like a little bit of the cinnamon and a little bit of the nutmeg, but it's not overpowering. So it's not this like super, like over the top spiced out holiday beer.
It's kind of like a lighter side of the winter warmer.
Yeah, and coming in at 5%, I mean, it's super easy drinking. So
talking
it's not
like a winter room temperature.
Yeah. You're not quite in a Snuggie. You're just in a,
I see.
You know, you're in your long johns.
What about the new Forever Lazy?
Forever Lazy?
You seen that? It's basically like feety pajamas. It's like feety pajamas for adults.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, with a really saggy crotch.
But there's no back flap.
Yes, there is a back flap.
There is a back flap.
Yeah. Yep.
For all those trips to the outhouse.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing about this is it's. It has those flavors of a winter warmer, not overpowering, and it's not super thick and super malty, so it's very easy drinking, but with lots and lots of flavor. Not bad. For a food pairing, I would avoid something sweet because this has plenty of sweetness in it. It's crazy because it started off super bitter. For food pairing, I'd say like a good roasted chicken, maybe like an herb roasted chicken, rosemary, something like that. Maybe hit it up with some spices, but definitely something light, yet flavorful, but nothing too sweet, nothing too spicy. Yeah, so that's this is the Auld Acquaintance from Pike Brewing. And Ratebeer gave this a 76, and the Beer Advocate users gave it an 82. Huh. So check them out on the internet, www.pikebrewing.com. See you next year, bitches! Yeah!
It's a dream of the week! Dream of the week!
samurai artist says, I love the expression on people's faces when they are unexpectedly trying a sour beer for the first time.
Last call!
Okay, Mike, if you think you're so ready, then why don't you give me some pint ratings?
Last call!
He's going for the record, and he took it! Yes! The longest last call! In 2011. I think it's Rio Coaster history.
That wasn't a loop, folks. That was live.
Doing it live. Doing it live.
All right. So, for my
pint
ratings.
Give me some pint ratings, okay?
Okay.
Come on.
So, for the Lost Abbey Gift of the Magi, it was a nice gift. It was quite pleasant.
Do you think baby Jesus would have been satisfied?
I think he would have. I think he would have to... Would have been, he would have been sucking from the teat of Lost Abbey, of this gift. It was good. Interesting, kind of spicy, wild yeastiness to it. Great aroma. It was very drinkable.
That's so
without
your new intro quote. Sucking from the teat of Lost Abbey.
Yeah, it's a tough one to kind of pinpoint. This whole beer de garde with a wild yeast is interesting, even for the avid beer drinker, craft beer drinker. I'm gonna give it a 4.
All right.
I really enjoyed it, and I think as soon as I cracked it, it was right at the right temperature. I thought it was a little warm, but I think it was perfect. For my one word for this, it's lots of lace. It's like a ridiculous amount of lacing that I got on this beer. For the Berkshire Holiday, it was very... It's very interesting as well with the spices and some of the aromas. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I almost want to give it a 4, but it's a little light in the pants, as we say here in New England.
Light in the pants.
Light in the pants. It'd be a barley wine. And my one word for this is tender, because it's not quite... It's not chewy. It should be chewy, and it's not. It's more tender than chewy, so...
I like that.
Yeah, there you go. Short and sweet. There you have it.
Cool. For my pint rating on the Gift of the Magi from Lost Abbey, I don't know what to say about it other than the fact
it is tough.
That, well, I mean, it's... I think that they... I'm not a huge fan of these... Like, when you get into the Belgians where they start to get... Like, quads and stuff like that, where they start to get big and... less crisp and less drinkable, more of a sipper. Like, the Belgian sippers, to me, are not really my cup of tea. So I tend to... I don't know. I can appreciate what Lost Abbey has done here. I think that what they've done has hit the nail on the head. I think that they've really brewed a nice beer. But to me, I'm not... it's okay to me. Like, I think that, yeah, it's good. It's got some good flavors. It's got some good aromas.
It's not up your alley style-wise.
Yeah. I mean, it's high on the ABV, so it's a bit of a sipper. It's somewhat of a big beer. So, yeah, when you get into those bigger Belgians, I'm not really a fan. Although, when you go to triples, I mean, triples can be a little bit high on the ABV side, but at least the triples have a crispness to them and a little bit lighter texture, I guess. Anyway, so I'm going to go with a 3.5, so slightly less than Mike. And my one word is... What did I say? Guard malade? Instead of marmalade, it's guard malade. Because it reminded... Yes, it reminded me of some sort of a jam or whatever that you would... So it had this thick, jammy kind of whatever. So I'm going guard malaise. You figure out how to spell it. I don't know how to... Anyway.
It's all right. It's an guard audio. Malaise. It's an audio podcast. We don't have to spell anything.
3.5. Okay. Pike's old acquaintance. This is... I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I didn't really have much expectations coming into this beer. I really had no idea what to expect. I mean, I've had the Wassail from Full Sail before. It's been years since I've had it, so I think this is similar to that, but more drinkable. And that's what I really like about this beer, is it's packed full of flavor, but yet... very drinkable. It's a session holiday beer, which is crazy because you don't really... even Celebration is borderline sessionable. And that's only because I love that beer so much I can drink a lot of it. But if you had a keg of it or if you brought it to a party, talking about the Celebration here, that people would have one, two, they'd probably be done. Mm-hmm. But with this one, it's so packed full of great sweetness and great spices and great flavors, but yet it's very light drinking and easy drinking. It's not thick. It's not super hoppy. The IBUs are relatively low, so I don't know. This is great. I'm going to go with 4.5. I really like this. And like I said, it's a pleasant surprise. I wasn't really... I didn't know what to expect, and it ended up being pretty nice. The old acquaintance. Did I even say what beer it was?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. For my one word, I'm going with lovely. Because I got some rose petals towards the end there. Some in the flavor. Anyway.
His heart went to flutter.
I went, this is lovely. It is. It's a lovely beer. And it's great for holiday beer. It's awesome.
It's quite lovely.
So those are our pint ratings, our last pint ratings for 2011. I know, it's so sad.
We bid the pint ratings a farewell.
And we're sticking with our 5-pint system. That's damn right. It.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what next month brings.
Yeah. We'll see if BJCP contacts us and says, excuse me.
You're off the air unless you do it our way.
We're shutting you down. Check us out on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, Untappd, and Google Plus.
Ooh, I'm glad you just said Untappd because I completely forgot to untap my beers.
There you go. You better get on that. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and we're also available on Callisto.fm.
Yeah, but you can also listen to us directly on our wiggity 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 website. That's right. BeerCoastersPodcast.com. We got all kinds of cool stuff there. We got the shop link if you want some t-shirts and steins and stickers and things. We got Beer Coaster Toby's bruise paper. It is the Beer Coasters Daily. And it is daily. All kinds of stuff on there. Some
every day.
Beer related news and stories, videos, music, whatnot.
Even on the holidays.
Check it out. That's right. Even on the holidays. That's how we roll here. We have no vacation days. Definitely no paid vacation days. And barely any sick days.
Yeah, that's why if you listened last week, we talked about it. We didn't mention this in our Hop Topics, but with the changeover on Beer Advocate with their rating system, they actually changed it the week that we recorded last week's show, which was a week earlier. We had to That's record.
Right. We did a kind of a week in advance recording, yeah.
Yeah, because I was out of town, and Mike was cool enough to record two shows in one night.
Yeah.
And we got pretty hammered.
How cool
I am. We were drinking 4 beers each that night. So that's why our ratings were still the letter ratings, even though at that point.
Yeah, they had already switched to numbers. They had already switched over. That's funny, yeah.
So we were in the past, even though it was the future. I don't know.
Tell your friends about our show. Tell your friends. Hey. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Did you already talk about the shop link?
Yeah,
If you want to send the beer coasters to the beer bloggers conference next year,
yes.
I wish go to the go to our website, click on the shop link, buy some swag, send us to the beer bloggers conference in July of 2012. Every little bit of cash will help.
Nice.
Okay. We'll go and we'll get to hang out with people like Greg in Anaheim from the OC Beer Blog.
And the beer
people
chicks.
Like that. And the beer chicks probably be there.
The beer sommeliers.
Yeah, get them hang out with some beer sommeliers.
Sommeliers and cicerones and other beer geeks like us.
Yeah. Anyway, we'd like to ask you to support your local brewery, brew pubs, beer bars, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh.
Yes.
Don't drink and drive, especially on this holiday season. It's just
be careful out
dumb.
There. And a reminder to all of our listeners, this is your show.
We're just drinking it.
Cheers!
Cheers to the beers!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year's!
Oh, any shout-outs?
Shout-out to Blue Microphones, the unofficial mic of the Beer Coasters podcast.
Yeah. It's official, but we don't get paid for it, so it's right. Unofficial.
It's unofficial, because, yeah.
We don't get paid to do anything.
No, we don't.
Jeez.
It's true. But we love it.
We're going to get some free beer from Sweden. That's cool.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, we got some
right,
free
Malt
beer.
Porter,
we got some
right?
free beer mm-hmm. this year from some breweries. That's it. Let's do that. We get
yes,
the
we
shout
have.
Out to Clown Shoes and
there you go.
And a Slum Brew.
Yep.
And was it Bitox? We got those.
Yep, Bitox. Got the hookup.
The patches, the hangover patches.
Hangover patch.
Yeah.
I got hooked up from Carl Strauss in San Diego.
Yeah.
They hooked me up with some of their beers.
Sweet. See?
So shout out to them.
And also, you know, all our sponsors, you know, Aces and Ales and Gemini Lounge, and hopefully
oh,
soon we're working on some, you know, East Coast beer bars this year as well, or the next coming, you know, year. So yeah,
shout out to Carrie Kelly.
Yeah.
Carrie Kelly from Aces and Ales, guitar player for Alice Cooper.
Yeah,
thanks for supporting the show.
We're brothers in beer.
I did an interview with him. Yeah, see you in 2012. Cheers. I don't need a ring on that.
A ring a ding ding.
That was good. Alright. Awesome.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week. Right here on Beer Coasters.
He would have been sucking from the teat of Lost Abbey, of this gift.
Whoa. Got any beer in there? Or is it all just Degard?
That's beer discrimination, man. I want equal rights for beer, man.